Okay, here to wrap up KER Politics. Going to take kind of a potpourri of some of the things that we talked about in this particular program. Jimmy, there were a lot of important things I think everybody needs to realize, in my opinion, but then again, I'm a bit of a sentimental guy, and I think that the worst thing that's going on right now in the government is the complacency of the federal government when it comes to the issue of child trafficking. You know, when you wrap that one up, it just seems to me that that is perhaps the most negative comment that I personally could make on what's going on within the halls of the federal government. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think there's a lot of problems out there that we've got to see in reality right now. And the unfortunate issue is that much of the information that's being put out is either manipulating people, providing information that's false in order to steer them away, or is actually just being censored and not being reported.
Yeah.
So, it's an interesting dilemma. And again, I think the very powerful media corporations that control the dialogue in the United States, New York Post, Washington Post, of course, the network television stations, and of course, groups like Reuters and AP, they silence some information that is politically not supportive of their agendas, because
right.
those agendas are about expanding their market capabilities. And of course, that's easily done by influence and corruption. And then and unfortunately, there's just a handful of editors around the country that actually control most of this information. And a handful of tech platforms that control the media. Microsoft Network, Google, you know, with the parent company Alphabet, YouTube, much of this is controlled. The one kind of open social media platform with Twitter is really not enough to shift away from so much media control that's being managed by these major corporations for political agendas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no question about that. It's amazing that some of the real stalwarts when I was growing up, you talk about Associated Press, you talk about Reuters, you talk about some of the others. It's amazing to me that they have slipped down to that level. Let's talk a little bit more about the economic situation in the United States. I mean, it stinks right now. There's no question. I would be incredibly worried if I were a little bit younger. I would have to say about 10, 15 years younger, I'd be scared to death right now. I mean, you got bank failures every other day. You got the value of the dollar decreasing. And more importantly, you've got the United States as being depicted right now as not necessarily the strongest country in the world. What a shame.
Well, it's sad, and watching, you know, this week we had another, you know, we had at the beginning of the week the Republic Bank failure, you know, going over the weekend last week, and a sellout to JP Morgan Chase for, you know, literally a loan from the Fed by 50 or from the FDIC for $50 billion in order to consolidate and make that bank, JP Morgan, even richer and more influential, which is absolutely the wrong direction for us to go, as we mentioned in the first segment. But then you had another series of banks that were on the margins of actually collapse, that they bumped up a little bit in price in today, but Bank West Corporate or PacWest Bank, I think First Horizon and Western Alliance were all almost at the verge of takeover and collapse. Now they've seen a little bit of return today in investment in their stock values, but I think this is short-lived, because ultimately it is about that balance sheet, that mark-to-market value in there, and that is very dangerous. But I definitely want to talk a little bit about what's happening in other areas too, with what happened with Kim Gardner, the St. Louis prosecutor.
Yep.
And of course, Prigozhin and Ukraine, and what's going on in Bakhmut, which is there's some hot news right off the wire on that as well.
Well, let's go into that, Jimmy. We got close to, I would have to say, 6 minutes left. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the first interesting thing, Kim Gardner, she's the St. Louis prosecutor that was a Soros-backed prosecutor that basically stopped, you know, in a social justice Mode stopped prosecuting a large number of defendants, people that had committed very serious crimes, and then at the same time started prosecuting like the two lawyers that lived in the little community next to the mayor's office when the BLM riots were taking place and people had crossed into the yard. They pulled out weapons to keep people away from their house because, in fact, they were afraid that their house would be burned down, they'd be attacked. And, of course, they prosecuted them for weapons charges. Those all failed, and they were actually, you know, the efforts, you know, ultimately were overturned. But at the same time, it really, really affected these people's lives, and it showed that the government was, that Kim Gardner was unwilling to accept the individual right of self-defense.
Yeah.
She was being asked to resign by the Attorney General of Missouri. Not being asked, she was actually fired by the Attorney General of Missouri, but she was fighting that until yesterday, and she finally resigned under pressure. And of course, what's not being said is the reason why she resigned is she's finally, they found out that she was doing some night school activities that was not appropriate for her job, and that she was basically under so much pressure she was going to lose, but she finally decided to resign. That's a small victory, but it's only one small victory with a lot of problems out there in these Soros-backed prosecutors and the increased crime around the United States.
Well, he's doing a pretty good job in accomplishing his ability to really throw a lot of weight in certain directions, and there's no question about that. Whether you like the guy or you hate the guy, I think it's a little bit immoral for somebody who doesn't even live in the United States, but just somebody who has a lot of money to try and become basically a de facto dictator of the U.S. It just seems out of line to me. But then there are so many things going on right now, Jimmy, to me that seem out of line. It's kind of getting old.
Yeah, I do want to say that he actually, the George Soros does have a house here in the United States, and he does. So technically, you know, it's in I believe in Catana, New York.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that ultimately here's a former Hungarian guy that supported, you know, his grandfather who was collecting up Nazi properties, helping basically the Nazi party, and then of course getting involved in so many things around the world because he's manipulated markets in order to achieve a financial wealth, and now he's still attempting to do that, something very scary. But let's talk a little bit, Al, let's finish this up a little bit on what's going on in Ukraine, because this is really important stuff.
Go ahead.
So we've been talking about the fact that the Ukrainians are preparing for a major offensive. We've been talking for months about the possibility of the Russians taking Bakhmut. The primary fighters in Bakhmut were Ukrainian National Guard forces backed up by Ukrainian regular forces and special operations forces. And the primary Russian elements were the Wagner mercenary group and, of course, some with backup with Russian special forces and some Russian Ministry of Defense people.
Yeah.
Yevgeny Prigozhin, the commander of Wagner, the mercenary group, announced publicly that because the Russian MOD is not supporting his forces with ammunition and he's lost so many men, that he is actually withdrawing his forces from Bakhmut as of the 10th of November. That is a huge statement. It's a threat, basically, to say, we're pulling out if you don't give us more ammo. But at the same time, he's losing literally hundreds of men on a regular basis. And these many are conscripts. Many of them were prisoners that were pulled out of prisons in order to support it. This is a huge impact on the outcome of this war.
30 seconds, Jim.
Yeah, so the other issue is Russians have announced evacuation of 18 settlements around Zaporizhia. Zaporizhia is the nuclear plant area. We're going to see significant changes coming up in Ukraine with a major Ukrainian offensive operation, and we don't know where this is going to go.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know where it's going to go, but I got to tell you, I'm getting sick and tired of having everybody, you know, kind of basically, in effect, feeling that the United States is kind of going to hell in a handbasket. I don't think it is. We're going to pull out of this. We're a strong country. We have a lot of wonderful citizens living here who are going to ensure that that doesn't happen. You guys, it's been fun putting this together. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week. Thanks, Jim.
You better.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.